This episode of Surthrival, Therapeutic Friendship, is sponsored by Chris Winchester. Chris is the best boss in the world. He was my former boss and such a therapeutic friend. And he offered to sponsor this episode in honor of my husband, Matt Gaines, which caused a big lump in my throat. So thank you, Chris, for being a therapeutic friend to me. Thank you for being an amazing boss and for sponsoring this episode of Surthrival. Welcome to Surthrival, the podcast about befriending grief. Today we start a new series, one that will correspond with the holidays, and that is remembering. I'm going to tell you, I have not exactly come across or decided on the exact title yet. I've thrown out around a lot of words like commemorating, remembering, remembering well. But we're going to talk about the importance of remembering our loved ones. And this is so important. And we're going to talk about rituals around remembrance. We're going to talk about how rituals help us heal. And some of the things that we're going to talk about today, our episode is Hungry Ghosts, Remembering Who We Love. We're going to have one featuring a woman who took a trip with her two sisters visiting Africa where she lived. And that one's going to be called Visiting Memories. In episode 3, I've got Dr. Sean King coming on to talk about communion and the Last Supper and how that grief dinner, we're going to just dive deep into that, into the meaning in the Last Supper. And then I want to do an episode on holiday hurts because holidays can be really tough time for people who are suffering grief. And then the last episode I want to do is called Making Lemonade. And I want to have people on that have turned something good, have brought something good out of their hurt and their loss, much like Surthrival has been for me. So I have in mind a couple of people, but if you can think of someone who's written a book or started a nonprofit, I would love to hear from you and think about them being on the podcast. So we start today's episode with Hungry Ghosts, Remembering Who We Love. And this episode is sponsored by my friend and former boss, Chris Winchester, in memory of my husband and my children's dad, Matt Gaines. So thank you, Chris, for sponsoring this episode and for being so kind and present for us after Matt's death. So I am so proud and pleased to introduce my oldest child, my daughter Madison Gaines Norwood. I hope this will be an intimate and personal conversation about the loss of Matt, my husband, and her father. So, Maddie, thank you for being on the podcast. You're the first family member I've had on here. And go ahead and introduce yourself to our audience.
Yeah, so once a Chick-fil-A cow, always a Chick-fil-A cow. It is a pleasure to be here. It's kind of like I'm just calling you in the morning like normal, but on Spotify. So that's crazy. My name is Madison, or Maddie, Gaines Norwood. I'm the daughter of Stacia and the late Matt Gaines. I am a follower of Christ, a stay-at-home mom of two toddlers now.
The most beautiful grandchildren in Opelika.
It is so true. I'm also an Auburn University grad. I graduated in Human Development and Family Studies with a minor in Asian Studies. And I also forgot this the other day, but I have a master's from the University of West Alabama in early elementary education. So I am thrilled to be on today.
Thank you. I'm so thrilled that you're on here. Maddie, let's start with talking about how we grieved differently. Maddie and I are very close, but we're very different personalities. I'm very extroverted and out there, and I process things out loud, and Maddie's more private, more introverted, more calm and patient. And so we have grieved in very different ways. Share a little bit more about that, Madison.
Yes. So we even had a word after probably what, months? I don't even remember, weeks or months of noticing, recognizing our grief differences. And the word that we used, it was like a code word, and it was tzatzikis. And every time we would say that, it would be like, whoa, take a step back. Like, you are verbally processing your grief out loud to me, which is great, but it feels like too much for me right now, especially so early on in the process. And so that was kind of one way that we managed our difference. And, you know, some of your previous episodes mention journaling, especially kind of in the first stages, right after whatever grief you've experienced. And so I looked back at some of my old journals because I really did do a lot of writing at the beginning. And you don't even know this, but this one is about our grief differences. I guess it's from June 26th. So that was maybe just like a few weeks in. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but I said that you told me that I need to, in a healthy way, deal with what I'm feeling and not shut off my emotions. And I said, I find myself being short with her and having a tone, but she needs to understand that I am grieving. It just doesn't look just like hers. And I even said, and I told her that. So I guess we had just like had the conversation. And I said, I know that she needs me right now, but I'm not so sure that she needs this me.
So
I guess that was like right when we made tzatzikis, because we quickly realized, you know, one, I was very quiet and private with what I was feeling. Right. And two, you were the opposite. And it was causing me to kind of shut off a little bit.
And it took me a minute to realize it. And
me too.
It took us, but you know, we were both grieving like hard, like raw. The feelings were very raw.
And yeah, because it took us, it was a traumatic incident. So it took us quite by surprise. So that was just another layer to add on to it. But as Miss Ann Carroll's podcast episode said, however many ago that was now, I am the solitude griever. So I, you know, you don't really know what type or category you fit into until it happens to you, unfortunately. But it's good to be aware and to kind of figure out, like, okay, what is my outlet? Like, how do I feel healing? And I feel like the solitude griever can be perceived as loneliness. But for me, it was an intentional choice to process my grief privately through self-reflection and self-care. But I also think it's important what you were telling me to embrace both, to find a balance between social support and counseling and speaking your feelings, but also finding that private solitude when you need it. So I realized that I needed both.
And I think remembering back Maddie, because you're so private and introverted, often I didn't know that you were processing things.
Right.
And so I think my concern for you and Mason is because you do tend to be more private with your feelings, I just wanted to make sure you were processing them somehow, not necessarily an expectation of processing them the way that I did, but I just wanted to make sure that you were processing them.
No, definitely. Like, people need accountability when they're going through that. Because like you said, if you don't deal with grief, grief deals with you.
Yeah. And I just want to remind listeners, if they're kind of coming into the the podcast without listening to the first episodes, we lost our husband and father through suicide. And so that was very sudden. There was trauma involved. So it was a traumatic death. So we were dealing with the trauma and the sudden loss on top of just normal grief where we've lost somebody that we loved.
Right. I like to call it my trauma lasagna. It was just so many layers of things that were pretty hard to put into words.
Let's talk about, we hadn't planned on this, Maddie, but you were on your way to my house when it happened, and then we ended up calling your brother, and they came the next day. But one of the things that I remember talking about how we grieve differently is that the four of you went to where Dad took his life. You went to the place where it happened. And
yeah.
I could not imagine going there. And as a matter of fact, I did not go there until a year and a day later.
Right. Yeah, that's interesting. I guess if I could look into the future and guess which one of us would have wanted to go there, I think I would have chosen you and not myself.
Right.
But it was interesting. That was like one of the first things I wanted to do. Speaking of trauma lasagna, I had just seen a dead child a couple weeks prior to this.
That's right.
And so I was already processing a lot. And so then when I showed up at y'all's house and there was the sheriff there, my first thought was not that my dad is dead. It was that there was some other question that an officer had for me because I had seen something and I wasn't even mentally like, that is the reason that he's here. So when you told me, I can just remember thinking, I need to tell the officer that I'm sorry because I need to explain why I'm not crying. Like, I need to tell him I'm not crying because I'm in shock. Like, I remember wanting to explain that to him. Like, yeah. I don't know why that was one of my first thoughts. Obviously, I had tons of questions, like where and how and what are the details, how recently, everything. But I wanted to go visit that place pretty early on in the process because I think it was a connection thing. Like, I wanted to maybe see the last thing that he saw or be in, like, the surrounding nature of what he experienced right before, just to try to like make more sense of what was going through his mind, why he chose that particular place. So I think that is why. I think it was a desire for understanding.
Yeah.
That was it was surprising. It would have seemed like something that I would have done, and yet I didn't do it for a year. I could barely go to the neighborhood. It took a while to even do that.
Yeah. So psychology was always interesting to me. So I was even a psych major for a short period of time. I changed like 3 times.
I remember.
But I learned all about suicide in multiple classes. And so I think I was especially hard on myself because I didn't do enough because I knew the signs. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, so I think going to the last place that he was me just grasping at straws to try to figure out maybe where his headspace was.
Yeah. I think something that was interesting to me about that weekend, and listeners, it happened on the Saturday before Father's Day. And so one of the things that surprised me is how we all just started doing tasks. I was not frozen. I was not, I was in shock, but we started a list and we all just pitched in and did things and we got so much done that weekend. And I don't know if it was just we needed tasks to keep us moving, you know, feel like, how do you make sense out of this? And this has happened. This is horrible. What can we do? Those were things that had to be done. And so we did a lot. Do you remember that, Maddie?
Yeah, I mean, we went to work. We just divided and conquered, really, all of us.
Mm-hmm. We've also remembered Matt in different ways, right? So one of the things that has been meaningful for me, things that I've done, is I've we had Matt cremated, and did I give you some ashes, Maddie?
Yeah, I'm looking at them right now, actually.
Oh. Mason took some. I know Matt's sister has some, but I kept the bulk of them. And one of the things that I have done to commemorate and to remember is I have taken the ashes several times in a snack-sized Ziploc bag to various places that were meaningful to us. There are some in Lake Eufaula that I spread with our friends, the Hoskins. There are some in the mountains of Gatlinburg that I've spread in a mountain stream with friends who also knew Matt. There are some in the Gulf of Mexico at Perdido Key. There are even some at the Floribama, where we went several times as a family to eat. And so that's been really meaningful to me. And I think the meaningful part to me is that I've been able to share that experience with someone else. And somehow it has lightened my load to let them spread some of the ashes and let them participate. That's really made me feel less alone. So, Maddie, talk about how you've remembered Dad.
So, I don't have a grave because he is cremated. And it really would be difficult every year to go back to where he did take his life. So I do something a little bit more attainable for myself. Some people remember to recognize someone's anniversary of death. But for me, that the day that he died, I don't choose to remember him on that day. Now, that being said, if someone does text me and say, and knows that's the anniversary of his death, and they reach out and they just say like, hey, I know this is a difficult day, week, whatever, Father's Day era for you. I always appreciate that. And it means so much that people remember that. But the day that I mourn him, if you will, instead is his birthday. So every year on June 8th, because I'm a solitude griever, I ask off. You know, I'm a stay-at-home mom, so I request the morning off. And it's just a chance for me to be by myself, away from any people. I like turn my phone off. But I drive to his favorite Korean restaurant in Auburn. Chin Korean, shout out. So I'll go there. It's so good.
Yeah.
I drive to that parking lot, and I always bring an original glazed Krispy Kreme donut. And I bring a candle and a lighter and stick the candle in it and sing him happy birthday. I always eat a donut myself because, you know, like we're feasting together. But I always leave one out in the parking lot, flame not lit. Don't worry. I blow it out. And kind of as an offering, I don't believe that he can eat this donut where he is in heaven, but I do it to remember him, to honor him. And I know he would love that. I know he would think that is hilarious if he were here. And so the place is special. The food is special. I normally wear one of his old t-shirts. So what I'm wearing is special. And then I bring a little memento box, if you will. My friend Shay, shout out Shay, if you're listening to this, but a long time ago, she took an old thrift book and cut out the inside, you know, so if you were to put it on a shelf, it would look like a normal book, but it's hollow. And inside I have, his pitch pipe, a ring, lots of pictures, his ashes, a little Amazon note. And it says, for baby Norwood, whenever she or he arrives. So this is before our daughter was even in the picture. He had sent a little book to her. Little did he know, yeah, it's going to be a she. And lots of either notes that I had written to him or notes that people have written to me about him. And so I just take some time and I watch old videos of him. I tell him, give him an update on what's happened in the past year, just kind of catch up. So I talk out loud in the car and, you know, I cry, which I don't do a ton in relation to his death. So that is, kind of like, Mason and I joke, like it's on the schedule, my one time to cry each year. Get it all out in 1 hour and then that's it. Like put it in the calendar. But I do this.
You know, that sounds a lot like Dad.
Yeah. Well, I was telling you, I know he wouldn't like flowers, because one, he's allergic to lilies. So you just know, working in a church on Easter all those years, he was just suffering. But I don't feel like flowers are very him. And I was like, what could I do every year? And so my offering, if you will, is the Krispy Kreme donut.
And I guarantee you he would love to join you in that.
Oh, yeah. One time he called me that past curfew. I guess I was in high school. And I was driving. And I was trying to get home so fast. And I said, uh-oh, Dad called me. So I picked up and I said, hello. And he said, where are you? And I was like, well, you know, like I'm at the corner of whatever and whatever street. I'm almost home. And he said, have you passed Krispy Kreme yet? And I was like, no. am I in trouble? And he said, not if you bring back some baby angels, a dozen original clays. And I was like, yes, sir, sir, yes, sir.
I don't know if I knew that or not. That's hilarious. And I think, you know, Maddie, that I think telling stories like that is another way we commemorate and we remember. For the first year, it was really hard for me to laugh and remember the good times. It was just too painful. But as time passes, more and more I can remember things about Dad that I just really love and be able to see his picture on a frame of us doing something fun, like in the lake or at the beach, and laugh and have happy thoughts and have joyful thoughts instead of, oh, but he's gone.
Right. I feel that. I feel the same way. Oh, wait. In the last episode, you said not to say that. I don't feel the exact same way as you. I feel similarly.
You're funny. All right. The other thing that we were going to talk about, Maddie, and the title of this episode, Hungry Ghost, was Madison's idea. So let's talk a little bit about, we lived as a family, we lived in China for 5 years. We lived in Tianjin, China. On my Facebook post today, I posted a picture of watching Chinese mourners out the window from our apartment. We could see a lot of cool things outside of the apartment. Talk a little bit about why you thought that would be a good name for the episode, Maddie.
Yeah, it kind of came to me because I was thinking, you know, I kind of bring a food offering to the dead, which sounds strange because as a Christian, I don't believe by any means that he will get that donut. The Bible talks about respecting the dead and their peace with proper burials, and we're encouraged to remember them, but not to communicate with them. And I know that he doesn't get his donut. But in China, I was always interested by their beliefs and their customs when it comes to mourning someone that they lost. So they use the end of a harvest season, which I thought was very interesting. A lot of cultures do that. And they have festivals and grave sweepings and opportunities to grieve out loud as a community, to come together as a family and community, which seemed to be another common trend when I looked up how different cultures mourn the dead. They also burn something called spirit money. And then I was looking at Mexico and Dia de los Muertos and how they kind of do some similar things. They have these bright, beautiful, cheery flowers to celebrate life instead of feeling bitter about the death. And they also do altars with flowers and foods and pictures of their loved ones. And so something that really stuck out to me about the Chinese culture is their mourning period and how it's quite lengthy, in my opinion. And, you know, it varies, and I don't want to say the wrong number, but, you know, with their festivals, it's like a significant amount of time, like 40 something days or, and I think in America, we just think like, oh, you lost somebody, like their funeral will probably be soon. Then you might want to take a few days off work. And then from that point on, you know, I'm sorry. You know what I mean? Like yeah. We kind of brush
life
it
goes
off.
On. Yeah.
Life goes on. Yeah, exactly. But in a lot of other cultures, there is a focus on mourning for longer periods of time. And it makes me think of sitting Shiva as well, like being forced in a good, healthy way to grieve and mourn out loud with community. And man, what an impact that can have on the people that the dead have left behind.
Rituals should be something that help us mourn, right. Help us really feel the feels. They should be things that help us remember the person that we lost. And also, they should be things that help us move forward, because life does have to go on. But I think it's important to have ways to remember. And I love your Krispy Kreme donut at the Korean restaurant in Auburn on his birthday every year. That is a beautiful, beautiful way to commemorate and remember a loving dad.
Thank you. I'm going to keep doing it every year for as long as I can. I don't actually know what ends up happening to the donut. Someone might eat it. Maybe it goes to the birds. Who knows? But it's meaningful to me. And I know that if Dad were still here, he would be very honored by my ritual.
Yeah, he would. And I got to tell you, this one has been emotional for me.
I know, I said some things that I don't think you were expecting, so.
Yeah.
Sorry, I caught you off guard there.
No apologies needed, because this is a podcast where we feel the feels and we express the feels, and, you know, that's important. That's an important thing. And I just thank you for being honest and for sharing. I know you're generally a private person, and so I consider it quite an honor that you would share that with the 50 followers that I have right now.
Oh, girl, maybe more.
Maybe more. We're going to work on that. All right, Maddie, thank you so much for coming on the show. And listeners, take the time to commemorate and remember. It's important for you. It's important for your community, for your family. And just keep taking baby steps and keep moving forward in your grief journey. I'm so glad you joined me for Sir Thrival today. My goal is to help fellow mourners move forward in their grief journey, even if it's just a baby step. If you know someone who is grieving and would benefit from Sir Thrival, please send them a link to the podcast. You can do this by clicking on the three dots on the podcast link and selecting share. I want this message to get to the people who need it most, and I need your help to do this. You can also go to my website, sirthrivalpodcast.com/podcast, and share it from there.